Hi, this is Joe Patty. Thanks for listening to WRTI Online. This service is made possible through the support of WRTI's members. You can become a member, too. Since you're already online, just visit www.wrti.org and click the Become a Member link on the upper left corner of the webpage. You can also join us by phone at 1-866-809-9784. Your membership will help keep WRTI's broadcast and online services strong. And again, thank you. Now, on with the show.
Welcome Jorge Gomez, pianist, music director, arranger for a group called Tiempo Libre. Welcome to Crossover.
Thank you very much, Jill. Thank you for having me.
I have a few words to describe my reaction to your newest album, Bach in Havana. Inspiring, exciting, brilliant, creative, new, courageous.
Thank you.
Just love it. It's really exciting. I didn't know what to expect. It kind of had echoes of Jacques Lussier to me at one point, but so very, very different. Tell our audience a little bit about you and your group, how you arrived at this kind of music. You're classically trained, aren't you?
Yes, of course. Well, the band was original from Miami. We are from Cuba, but yes, the band started here in Miami 7 years ago. And we studied together in the same school in Cuba, the National School of Art, for 15 years.
That's a classical conservatory or what?
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes. Bach, Liszt, Chopin, Mozart, everything.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, we have the idea to go back to our beginning. And the beginning of everybody in the music, in the classic music, is Johann Sebastian Bach.
Yes.
And we want trying to mix the art culture with that, with Bach.
Mm-hmm.
So we have like a travel around the all kind of style of music from Cuba, danzón, cha-cha-cha, rumba, bolero,
mm-hmm,
with the music of Bach.
Which is amazing. Why Bach?
Yeah.
Why Bach?
It's very easy. He for us is like a DNA of the music of the world. So he has everything. He has the rhythm, the melody, and of course the mathematics that we need to play Cuban music.
But you've really added jazz. I mean, there's jazz in there, and then there's, of course, classical virtuosity, and then, of course, the Cuban rhythms, which are...
Yeah.
I read somewhere that when you went to school, you weren't allowed in Cuba to listen to Cuban music. Is that right? Or
yeah,
folk music?
No, listen and even think about play.
So what kind of music would that be that you couldn't listen to? I mean, what was it? Just the conga and the music of Cuba, the rhythmic music or the folk music or even classical Cuban music? Could you listen to that?
No. You can play classic from Cuba, like Lecuona, Amadeo Roldán. That's okay.
Okay.
But if you play cha-cha-cha, tumbao, salsa, no. You are not allowed to play. At that moment, at the beginning.
What year was that?
80s.
In the 80s, uh-huh.
Yes.
And so explain what timba is. I don't know what that is.
It's an evolution of the Cuban music. For example, if you put the sun with the jazz, you have timba. Imagine Buena Vista Social Club with Chick Corea.
Oh, okay.
They playing
okay
together, that's jazz.
Okay, so that's you. But of course, you always invite some rather interesting guests to play with you. And I know you appeared with James Galway. We interviewed him about his experience with you, and you made an album with him also.
Yes, Already Street.
Yes, was that one of your first efforts to go into the, I guess, more classical side of things?
Well, we are prepared to play classic music, but that was his idea.
Uh-huh.
James Galloway came to me and said, you know, we have to play together. We need to do music together. And I said, yes, okay. What do you have in mind? He said, oh, well, have you heard about Claude Bolin,
that
composer?
Mm-hmm.
He wants the best for me. And I said, yes, okay. Well, what we can do together? Well, I give you the music and you put the idea. You put the wawancó, the salsa, everything that mm-hmm you have in mind. And we did it.
We also have with us Sir James Galway, who is really quite a charming gentleman and is full of stories. And we spoke about this recording that he wanted to make of the Claude Bowling Suites. So how did this all come about?
Well, I wanted to record it, you see, and at the time when I was talking about this, I was talking to Deutsche Grammophon and Sony at the same time about a new contract. And I proposed it to Deutsche Grammophon, and they didn't want to know about it. So then they offered me another two recordings, and I politely declined and went with Sony. But we hadn't got a clue what to do with Sony. So then in the meantime, I'd fixed up to meet Tempo Libre in Florida where I was playing. So I got the message to these guys. I said, listen, 10 o'clock in the morning, be there on time. No cursing, no smoking, no drinking, and no spitting.
They all turned
up. And guess what they did, Joe? They played everything from memory. I couldn't believe it.
Oh, my goodness.
Because, you know, when Jorge, when he was showing the guys how it was going on the piano, they were filling in, making the arrangement on the fly.
Oh, my.
And they turn up with a very polished article. I mean, it was like walking into a studio and playing with the Emerson Quartet. It was so well together and everything. It was not a problem. So we made a little Walkman disc of one of the numbers, sent it to Sony, and Sony came right back and said, okay, we're on, we'll do it. And I couldn't believe it because it was like a fairy tale. Kids want to do that all the time.
Isn't that great? Well, they are classically trained, aren't they, the Tempo Libre?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Now, they're coming to Philadelphia. Are you going to be with them?
Not so far as I know, but if they ask me, I'll be with them.
So, Jorge, it's very different from the bowling, which was very revolutionary at the time, but that's the 70s, I guess, wasn't it? Claude Bowling.
Yeah, but that was... Very amazing music.
Amazing at the time. And then again, of course, as I mentioned, Jacques Lussier has taken classical, and he had done that with Bach initially, but he went all the way up to Debussy and so on, you know, and still did his thing. So what you've done is you've done that, you've done the classical, you've done the updating with jazz, but then you've put in the salsa. I mean, the salsa, like the kind that you eat, the hot stuff, you know, and it's really amazing. This Bach in Havana is just, I can't tell you how impressed I was. It's going to be released actually on the stands, I think, May 5th. And you'll be playing here in Philadelphia. Is that right? On the 8th you're playing.
We're going to play with the Conga Kings too.
Yes. Now, compare yourself to them for our audience. What is the difference?
Well, they play a lot of percussion thing. We're going to play the album, Bach in Havana. It's going to be a different way to see the classic music. You can dance with that CD. And we're also going to play cha-cha-cha, mambo, bolero. We're going to see people dancing on stage.
Okay. Oh, I see. You're going to have people on the stage dancing?
Yeah, the audience.
Oh, of course. Well, you can't sit still when you listen to the album. Oh, but it's very exciting because, I mean, I recognize all the themes of what you did with them. Now, what is a bata?
Bata?
Yeah.
It's a percussion instrument. It's most religion instrument from the Afro-Cuban, for the Orishas.
Yes. Very, very interesting.
When you have a party, religion party in Cuba for the Orishas, you play that kind of instrument to talk with the god.
Ah, I see. You're making it's used for religious purposes?
Yes, exactly. But you can also use it in in a CD.
I was going to say, well, I guess the best language for anything, even speaking to God, is through music, right? And you actually use the an excerpt from the, well, at least a theme from the Mass, the Kyrie of Bach.
Oh, which is, yeah, that was the first theme.
Oh, gosh, that's amazing. I just can't tell you. I mean, talking about it, one can never really get the feel of it. But what it does to you, you're bringing everything together musically. And I think that's what's so inspiring. Now, I have a question. You can answer it if you want. What do you think of, of the overtures that President Obama is making to Cuba now? What do you think is going to happen?
Oh, well, for me, I believe that one of the best things happened to Cuba right now, and for the Cuban living in the United States, because we need to be together. There is no more important thing than the family. And when you split the family, no matter how good you are, you need your family with you.
Well, I guess your music certainly brings that to the United States, even when we still have not resolved that problem, you know, with Cuba. But I just wondered, it's very timely that you come out with this album, because perhaps maybe things will change, hopefully.
Yeah, of course. We hope that.
Now, I just want to know, how did you, as a musician, I mean, you were classically trained. How did you start playing jazz? I mean, what was going on in your mind when you started with that?
Well, we need to improvise. We need to create something. And jazz is one of the style of music that you can be yourself doing music. So in Cuba, when you play the whole classic music, I don't know the whole thing, but you need more. You need to believe in yourself, not in Mozart or in Handel. So you start to improvise with the jazz, and you feel good. And then when you have that knowledge, you can create something, mixing the Cuban culture, the jazz, the classic, and you have Bach in Havana.
Well, yes, you do, if you're talented. But I was just wondering how somebody who is, again, classically trained, do you feel that there wasn't enough there, that you had to go in other directions as well to really express what you felt
than just the classical vein?
Yeah,
I'm talking about myself. If you want to be a classic musician, you have to be the best of all. If you want to play jazz, you only have to be yourself and be happy and make people happy with your music.
But you have to be good too. I mean, it's not easy to improvise, is it?
No, but it depends. If you feel it, you can improvise. If you don't feel it, it's going to be difficult.
So you don't think there's any way that one studies jazz? I mean, you don't think that you can learn it?
Hey, of course. But it's not only the school or the books. Mm-hmm. You have to feel the music that you want to play. You have to convince people that you are doing a great job.
So, I mean, you have progressions, chord progressions and stuff like that that you develop. And then you also are adding this other element of the Cuban influence, which is the rhythmic, I guess. Is that right?
Yeah, the rhythmic.
And there's melody in there, too.
yeah. And the communication between instruments.
Uh-huh.
For example, if the drums do something, you have to answer that with your piano.
Uh-huh. That's when you're improvising. But, you know,
exactly.
In the old days, the classical musicians, you know, Bach improvised a lot.
Yes.
Because if you look at some of his earlier stuff, he has like a figured bass or something like that. I mean, that's all improvisation.
Everything was improvisation. But the only thing that they put the improvisation on paper.
Well, so, sometimes, I guess. But I'm sure that he had, you can look at some of his music or the music of that period. And it's just a figured bass, I guess, you know what that is. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So wasn't that, and then you say, well, those are the chords, this is what you do, just do something on it. And I kind of think that's what jazz is to some degree, but this is amazing. So are you going to do any more classical, how can I say this, classical jazz tiempo libre interpretations, or is this it?
Are we talking about the concert?
Just generally speaking, this is the new album, and of course the concert, you'll be playing music from this. But do you have any plans on taking perhaps another classical composer and making it your own? Yes?
Of course, yes. Well, we have to wait to see what happened with this CD and then start again. But we all will have a lot of plan to do. A musical theater, a symphony.
Oh, really?
Everything.
It's all there, right?
Yes.
It's all there for you to take and make your own, as we say.
I'm waiting for the right time to do it.
When would that be?
It depends. If the people love the music, so we're never going to stop.
I have to say this was a revelation for me. I just didn't expect to hear this. I looked at the album and I said, and then I played it and I said, oh man, this is terrific. So I just want to congratulate you and the group. And I'm sure you're going to have a marvelous reception here in Philadelphia. What are your plans as far as other performances are concerned? Are you going to be touring throughout the United States?
Yes, of course, all the time. Tomorrow we are leaving to Daytona Beach.
Uh-huh.
There's a festival over there. We're going to play 2 days. And then we're going back. And then I believe Los Angeles.
Well, you have a lot of, in Florida, you have a huge Cuban population. And in L.A., you probably have a lot of, you have Spanish there. I mean, is that, do you look for audiences like that when you're setting up your tours?
Well, my goal is to teach people about the Cuban music. So if you are surrounded for Cuban, you know you're going to have a good time. But even that, if they are going to be Anglo or Mexican or Venezuelan, you have to teach how to have a good time. And that's the way that Tiempo Libre do it every time.
Oh, I see. You're ready to teach everyone how to have a good time. Well,
with the Cuban music.
That's a wonderful goal. And once again, thanks so much. Loads of luck to you and your wonderful, beautiful group. I mean, you have you use the same people pretty much, and then you have guest artists. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, once again, wonderful surprise. The best of luck to you. Hope to see you here in Philadelphia. And thank you for giving us your time today.
Thank you very much, Jim.
Thank you, Jorge. We've been speaking with music director of Tiempo Libre, Jorge Gomez, who also is arranger and keyboardist and does background vocals for Tiempo Libre. Other members of the ensemble are Joaquin El Kid Diaz, lead vocals, Leandro Gonzalez, congas and background vocals, Tibelio Tony Fonte, electric bass and background vocal, Cristobal Ferrer Garcia, trumpet, Hilario Bell, percussion and timbales, and Luis Rosca Beltran Castillo on tenor saxophone. On the album, guest soloists were Paquito Di Rivera, alto sax and clarinet, and Yosvani Terry on alto sax. Bach in Havana is not the first foray for Tiempo Libre into classical music. As we mentioned before, their album O'Reilly Street featured classical flute legend Sir James Galway, who's still here with us in the studio. Sir James, tell us a little bit about this O'Reilly person. He was a general
in the British Army.
Why was he in Havana? What was going on there?
Well, the British had a stockade there. And he was the governor of it. And when the Spanish attacked Havana, he fought them off successfully. So, of course, he became a national hero.
What years were those?
Oh, 1850 or something like that. You got to figure this out when the Spanish War was going on with it.
That's why I asked, because I had no idea. But
I should look it up, actually.
Those Irish, you Irish get into everything, don't you? When there's a fight going on, huh?
Well, there's a lot of Irish people joined the army because there was not an awful lot of outlets financially for people. And, of course, if you did well in the army, you were very well paid, good position, you know, in those days, a general.
So he really was a hero, and did he?
Oh, yeah.
He remained in Cuba, is that right?
Yes, and there are many Irish families in Cuba, because the Irish just wandered off everywhere.
It's so fascinating, you know, to find. They stayed there. Now, this street there are pictures on the album. It looks like it's old. Is it Old Havana, I guess, right?
Yeah, that's it. That is O'Reilly Street. We actually had that picture taken specially. We got a guy and told him, get your camera out there, go take a picture. So that's what he did.
And there's an old car there, too.
Yeah. Yeah, Havana's full of old cars, I believe.
Old cars and Irishmen, huh?
So,
well, this is really terrific. So it's really a crossover album. I mean, you're doing.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
sure it is. But you know, I didn't want to have a regular bass and drums, because you know when you listen to these big piano trios, even the best ones, the drums don't do too much because the piano's busy doing the thing. You know what I mean? So drums just sort of keep ticking over in the background. And I don't want anybody ticking over in the background. Uh-huh. I wanted a regular, a real contribution. So these two guys on percussion, I mean, they just blew me away. It was fantastic.
That's Leandro Gonzalez, and who else?
Yes, Leo.
Leo, yeah. And there was a bass guitar, and Hilario Bell,
Right. Yeah. Right, Hilario's a fantastic player. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's great player, beautiful sound. And this is another thing, you see, when you have an electric guitar, it's different from
an acoustic,
a bass. Yeah. It has more attack.
Mm-hmm.
So you get this great attack with the percussion and with the piano. The attack is immediate.
Mm-hmm.
So the ensemble is much tighter.
Sir James, tell us a little bit about jazz. How do you feel about playing jazz?
You know, I listen to a tremendous amount of jazz. I'm a great saxophone fan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just love listening to these guys playing the saxophone. Mm-hmm. And the other night when I played with Tempo Libre in a club here, there was a guy got up and played a number with him on the sax, and it just blew me away.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this was tremendous virtuoso playing. And he was just standing at the bar, and he came up and said, "Can I play?" You know, and they said, "Come on."
Amazing. But it's different.
It's a different world. There are a couple of jazz flute players who only play jazz.
Yes.
And these guys are the guys who influence me the most, because they really play the flute. I mean, there's one guy called Bill McBurney, and he says he doesn't practice scales, but, you know, I don't believe him.
Yeah. I don't believe
that. Because when he gets going, it's fantastic what he does technically, you know.
Yes.
But also musically, it's so beautiful, and he plays the alto flute and the bass flute and everything, and it's entertaining, and it's good music, and it's well written and well played, you know.
Well, Sir James, it's always exciting to try something new, and I think this album is going to be a great success.
Thank you.
And thanks so much again.
Sure. Nice to talk to you, Jill.
Same here. Take care.
Bye for now.
Bye-bye. We've been speaking with one of the great flute virtuosos of the 20th century, Sir James Galway, who teamed up with the ensemble Tiempo Libre to produce an album entitled O'Reilly Street. Sir James will not be appearing, however, with Tiempo Libre when they perform at the Kimmel Center on May 8th. And don't forget, Tiempo Libre's newest album, Bach in Havana, will be released on May 5th. I'm Jill Pasternak. Join us next week for Crossover here on WRTI.